Dennis, to begin, tell me a little bit about the exhibit.
Well, the exhibit is called Vision Revision, New Mexico Poets on the Page, and it's been a long time in the making. Connie and I have talked about this exhibit for over a year now. She brought a class in to the archives. I work in the archives here at New Mexico State University Library, and Connie is in the English department, and she brought a class in a year ago and to look through some of the archival collections that we have of New Mexico poets. And it was a great experience. I think the students really enjoyed it. And so Connie and I sort of came up with this idea to suggest an exhibit at the Brannigan Cultural Center based on these collections and then have her students help us curate the exhibit. So that was sort of the genesis of it all. The exhibit is going to feature four poets that we have in our collections. They are Lorenzo Torres, Margaret Page Hood, Keith Wilson, and Eugene Manlove Rhodes. So these are all four poets that that lived and worked and wrote in southern New Mexico, some of them right here in Las Cruces in the area, but from different time periods, really approaching poetry from different places. Some of them were professional writers. Some of them wrote poetry just as a sort of an avocation. So this is kind of the genesis for the exhibit, and it's going to be at the Brannigan Cultural Center. It opens on March 23rd and runs until May 19th. We're going to have a big opening event on Friday, April 6th, downtown from 5 to 8 p.m. And so the exhibit, in the exhibit, we are showing these original manuscripts that these poets created and then revised. So, you know, it's, you can imagine the piece of paper where they wrote something out, then they scratched it out and they wrote notes over in the margin. And it really sort of gives you an idea of how the poet's mind works when they're creating poetry. And I think that was what was so exciting to the students.
Yeah. And Connie, it is so interesting to me. We get to hear some of your students who recorded some of these poems. We're going to hear them actually for several months on our weekend radio shows. But at the exhibit, folks will be able to hear them as well. Tell me about that experience as a professor and the experience for the students.
Well, this radio station has been a wonderful collaborator for me and my students. Last year, during Poetry Month, Edmundo recorded my students reading poems by New Mexican poets, and those played during Poetry Month. The students were thrilled to do this. I think that knowing you were going to present a poem on the radio and then getting to hear it on the radio makes a student feel connected to the work, and it helps them understand the poem better. So that was wonderful. And then when we decided to collaborate, Dennis and I, we decided that we might continue that project this year. And we've been recording the poems pretty diligently over the past month. Thank you, Edmundo. And so these poems, the recordings of the poems, will be on an iPad at a listening station at the exhibit. So you'll get to hear current New Mexico poets, young poets, reading the works of previous New Mexico poets. So it's pretty special.
It really is. And I was so glad that when you came to me with this idea that you were willing to work with us on this project, because I am such a believer in collaboration across the disciplines. You know, a lot of times public media, we only work with journalism, and I believe so strongly in having the opportunity to work with students in every area. You have something else exciting in this exhibit. Folks will be able to work on their own poems. You have a creation room.
That's right. And guess what? There's a typewriter in it. I don't know if...
I'm feeling very old, Connie.
I know.
I actually, in my first job, believe it or not, used a manual typewriter even.
That's what we got.
Oh, my gosh.
And I realized when I showed my daughter the typewriter, she didn't even know how to put the paper in it. So I think, you know, putting the person in the position of writing a poem. And we have lots of aids to encourage people who may feel a little shy about getting started. But putting a visitor to the exhibit in the position of writing a poem, either by hand or on a typewriter, will help them connect, I think, to what those four New Mexico poets were doing with their days and their lives and their drafts of poems.
Yeah.
And the poems that people write in the creation room, we have a clothesline in that room where people can, you know, hang their own poems as if they were part of the exhibit as well.
What a wonderful idea. Dennis, tell me about one of the New Mexico poets in this exhibit.
Yeah, like I mentioned, we have four amazing poets in the exhibit, and they come from different time periods. So I guess I'm really attracted to the poetry of Keith Wilson. He was a professor here at NMSU for many, many years. Was an extremely prolific poet. And the collection that we have of Keith Wilson's includes not only his poetry, all his manuscripts, his notes. You know, sometimes things are written on an envelope and he'll start writing my to-do list, the shopping list, and somehow that turns into a poem by the bottom of the envelope. You know, it's really amazing. And just to see that he was constantly inspired and constantly creating wherever he was. We have one item in the exhibit of his. He attended a musical performance, and he has the program from the musical performance, and he starts writing on the program and making little notes about things that he's hearing in this musical performance. And by the time he gets on the back, he's already sort of fashioning that into a poem on the back of the program. And then you end up with this finished poem, notes on a new American music, and you can just see this, how this whole process evolved. It's really fascinating. So for those reasons, I really like the Keith Wilson material. In addition to the poems, we have not only for Keith Wilson, but for these other poets, their correspondence. So all of their letters back and forth with either friends, relatives, professional colleagues, publishers, things like that. And so that gives you just sort of another insight into the person's life.
Yeah. Connie, before we began today, I was telling you a personal story about being in a graduate class and being asked to write a poem. And I had never done that before. And at first, like so many of the students that were in the class with me, I was like, really? I have to do, how do I, what do I, what, it was, it created a lot of stress. But afterwards, I really saw the incredible value in this. For me, the personal value, and this was the intention of the professor as she told it to me, was this ability to learn more about yourself before you have to serve others, that it helps you empathize with others, understand others better, if you understand yourself better. As someone who is teaching this class, if you can talk about how you see the value of in a class, giving that opportunity to students, and also giving the opportunity to students to read more poetry.
Well, one thing I always say to my students is that I have the best job on campus, because people who come to my class want to express themselves, and there's a built-in desire to participate in the processes. I think sometimes students are a little surprised at how involved that process can become, but I feel like there's an immediate connection to the activity. And so that for that reason, I really love teaching poetry on this campus. And one thing that the exhibit showed me, especially in the papers of Lorenzo Torres, who was an activist, a communist. He was in the Salt of the Earth movie and one of the original strikers. And so he spent a lot of time lecturing about labor practices. And but, you know, he couldn't stop writing poems about labor practices and about being an immigrant, a Mexicano, Indio, Chicano. He writes about his identity throughout his life. through poetry. So I feel like once you get the bug, it's hard to stop, is all I'll say.
Yeah. Dennis, you know, in addition to this exhibit, we should mention that the treasures of these New Mexico poets are stored by NMSU Archives. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we, in the archives here at New Mexico State University, we collect and preserve papers of people from southern New Mexico and the U.S.-Mexico, New Mexico-Mexico border region. So these include things like family papers, people's personal papers, manuscripts of writers such as these, records of organizations and businesses from this region. And we preserve these things and then make them available to anyone who wants to come in and use them for research purposes. So often we work with historians. There's a strong connection between archives and historians, obviously. Archives are used primarily by historians. But there are a lot of other disciplines that can benefit from looking at these types of materials. And so having made this connection with the poetry students has just been fantastic because it sort of opens up another audience to the types of materials that we collect in the archives. In addition to the papers, we have about a million photographs in the collection. We have audio recordings, films, and things like that that document the history and culture and development of this region.
Okay. Well, it's been such a delight, Dennis and Connie, having both of you in studio with me today. And folks will really enjoy, I'm sure, attending this exhibit. Once again, it runs through May 19th. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Our pleasure.
Yes.